Hello and welcome to another episode. So today we're going to be covering a topic that I've been thinking a lot about lately. I've been doing some readings on, kind of just around this idea of symbolism and how it relates to the internet and how the internet is kind of influencing our drives and desires, and how maybe like the internet uses these symbols and it kind of creates this almost, not in like a super religious sense, but some form of like a religious symbolism that I feel like we don't realize how it's connecting to what we've seen throughout history with what we imagine as symbols. It's like connecting, I think, to like the same things within our brains and our psyches and our sense of self that is now influencing our drives and desires to, you know, a crazy degree, you know. But kind of what motivated this is I recently read an article that kind of put this into words for me. Some thoughts I've been having about the rise of various spiritual subcultures around social media, and some insights from this article, you know, they got my mind kind of going on my own thoughts. I want to start with a quote to kind of set the stage. So I quote, "Central to Hermetic thought was the tenet, as above, so below. Everything is connected, from the movement of the stars and the planets to the internal workings of an insect. Understanding these secret connections and harnessing them was the key to a successful magician's art. Central to was the occult nature of the mage's knowledge. The mage saw things and connections that ordinary or uninitiated people could not. Whoever shapes the perception of others in order to get what they desire is practicing magic. As above, so below in this context refers less to the relationship between, say, plants and planets than to the relationship between the human psyche and human cultural life. Change one person's mind and you might change the world. Like the old witches, bargains of eras past, we agree to sell parts of ourselves, our eyeballs, in exchange for certain illusory fulfillments of desire packaged up by powerful corporate tech titans and memetically gifted shit posters capable of going viral with a perfectly worded image or tweet. Memes in this telling become the modern interpretations of the magician's sigil, a magical image empowered to convey the magician's desired energy." Close quote. So we live in this era where information is abundant and readily accessible through the internet. We encounter profound psychological shifts. You know, historically, figures like local priests or some archetype of magicians held the keys to knowledge, truth, and wisdom. Now the internet has essentially democratized access to information, making each of us, in a sense, our own truth seekers, you know, creators, and in a more mystical sense, magicians. The traditional gatekeepers of knowledge are no longer the sole arbiters of truth, as we kind of now navigate a complex web of uncertainties and questions that defy, you know, singular answers. Now you are one viral video away from altering the perceptions and truths of thousands of people. This shift dramatically alters our perception of reality. You know, kind of merging the tangible with the virtual in unprecedented ways. And I think this phenomena of you know, deep fakes, edited images and fabricated stories, despite their potential falsehoods within those stories, significantly influences public perception. You know, in many ways, knowledge is no longer dispersed through kind of these controlled linear channels, and now spreads in a more decentralized and, I think, often chaotic fashion. You know, I wonder if this has created some failure or lack of collective belief, because now we can simply go seek out information that we are comfortable with. It's like that idea about people who are way, 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 way into conspiracy theories, right? Where, in a sense, they want to believe the world is messed up, but messed up and controlled by a handful of people, because A, it means someone is in control of this chaotic world, and B, it provides a kind of like a simple narrative where the conspiracy often assumes the world will be fixed if we simply get rid of this kind of like secret council of world leaders, right? So this meta reality, essentially what it is, from the many locations we can find info, has an effect on our perception of truth, which comes from the growing difficulty for us to convince ourselves of certainties. And when you're understanding of truth and identity becomes reformulated, your drives and desires fall under a similar process. You know, we go under the, or like this, we go under this reformulation with our drives and desires based on how our perception of truth and what is true becomes influenced, you know, altered, and how it kind of evolves, you know, in a internet landscape where objective truth is increasingly scrutinized. And in many ways, in many cases, rightfully so. Like, it needs to be scrutinized, and if not more so to some degree. I think the internet emerges as a realm where subjective realities, they hold sway. You know, the persuasive power of an individual or group can shape collective beliefs, you know, and this is reminiscent of the concept of, I think, you know, manifesting in that spiritual sense. You know, this bears a striking resemblance to, and I'm talking about manifesting in this regard, it bears a striking resemblance to the tactics of corporate leaders who shape public opinion through these kind of curated images and narratives through their kind of their almighty algorithms. You know, a parallel scene in the practices of those who believe in, let's say, law of attraction. Maybe this can help. This can help visualize it, though. So, although I think our existence is filled with kind of these endless doorways of uncertainties, before the internet, we were kind of, at least to some extent, kept in the dark on the extent of this kind of this unknowing. In the sense of uncertainty, we had more shared narratives, even when those narratives were often false. Like, I want to get that point across. It's like we could still see the world as a puzzle, yet we could imagine all the pieces that might make up the world. But now we have an endless supply of puzzle pieces, and we seem to try and fit the ones we stumble across together, and then spend the rest of our lives convincing ourselves that this is a complete puzzle, even when we have so much information that says the exact opposite. And I feel like deep down, we kind of know this. And this is why we have all these kind of new niches on the internet. So we still go on the interwebs to our favorite talking heads and follow their words. You know, the internet influencers and corporate elite deal in curated images to sway the subjective drives and desires of the consumer. And this made me kind of think in the sense of this argument by Debord's argument in Society and Spectacle, where viral content acts as potent carriers of cultural symbols and ideas, where they do, in fact, become kind of like these magic sigils. They encapsulate the spectacle of society where reality is replaced by images and representations that become more real than reality itself. You know, our perceived realities are becoming more fluid, influenced by the next swipes or more magical rhetoric we hear. The internet has evolved into a complex space of countless realities. You know, and those realities are intertwined with media, culture, and perception. This like fluidity challenges traditional notions of a singular, objective truth. You know, replacing our perception with a multitude of fragmented subjective truths that we try to find people we share with on the internet, right? And I think this kind of feeds our desire for attention. We want to feel validated in the identity we're creating, and the internet is a crazy place to do it. I'm doing that right now, making this. You know, in many ways, the internet provides a platform to distract us, leaving us disconnected and unsatisfied, perpetually chasing in unattainable fulfillment, giving us those little dopamine hits, but then dangling the next symbol to consume us, to distract us from examining the artificial nature of that very symbol, the artificial nature of the symbol that we create for ourselves, which is in many ways, our identity. You know, if the symbols we consume become artificial, what does that make us? You know, the virtual spaces we inhabit, both online and in our minds, fundamentally shape our understanding of reality. You know, the rise, I think, of these kind of like New Age spirituality, for example, can be viewed as a potential response to the ambiguity of truth in digital age. These practices provide a flexible framework for meaning making, reflecting kind of the fluid nature of the digital environment they're found in. It's not about, I don't think it's about unearthing fixed truths. It's about constructing personal narratives and belief systems that resonate on an individual level. And I think this creates this hyper-individualism where everyone wants to be this unique individual. Like I said, that's not a value statement. I do the same stuff. Look at what I'm wearing and wear rings and talk about this stuff on the internet. I'm trying to create the same thing, but it's still interesting to realize those pressures and where those pressures might be coming from and why we might have more of those pressures than we used to, you know? It's from this kind of, it's from this that I kind of think that we undergo this constant reshaping of truth and reality where we are constantly, and maybe this is on a subconscious level to some degree, going through this sort of like reevaluation of the self where personal identity is constantly negotiated and reformed based on the response to the continuous fluid and often, an emphasis on often, contradictory streams of information and stimuli that we experience. You know, today, the archetype of the magician is embodied by tech corporations wielding algorithms and internet influencers interpreting astrological signs, right? These modern magicians influence thoughts and beliefs often subconsciously through viral content. So in this context, magic is about shaping perceptions to align with a desired reality, a technique increasingly employed in both the spiritual and digital realms. And when we're talking about digital realms, we're talking about the corporate algorithms. And I want to note that I'm not making a value judgment about this. I feel like I'm kind of keep reiterating that, or at least this is not my intention. However, my observation and observations is that our distinction between the real and the simulated has become increasingly blurred. I believe we live in an age of increasingly fragmented perceptions. Thus, we lack kind of a clear truth, you know, kind of leading us towards mechanisms that aim to make sense of uncertainties. You know, spiritual practices are touching on that desire. Spiritual practices serve as the means to find coherence and meaning for people. And I think many of us also notice the kind of narcissistic drive to persuade people into our understanding of truth and identity. And I question that about myself as I'm making this. Like, how am I rhetorically trying to do this? What am I trying to view myself as? How am I trying to create an image for people, right? You know, and what better way to maintain the validity of your simulated world than to draw people into the hyper reality that you and I perceive, that you perceive, right? But I don't know. Stuff to consider, I think. And just stay curious. Until next time, peace. Get out of my labyrinth.